Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is a lady who has been a star on television, in film, and in the theater. She has a long background of doing some terrific work. Say hello to Patty Duke.
Thank you, Tom. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Patty. Tell us what brings you to Chicago, because you're coming in, I know, on the first through the third out in Western Springs.
Correct. The artistic director of Western Springs is a great old friend of mine, Jack Phillips, and he's also probably in the top two directors I've ever worked with.
Oh, that's a nice compliment.
Yeah. So it is really Jack that brings me there, and I am delighted that we're doing Blue Yonder. And I have three wonderful pieces to do.
Yeah, tell us what Blue Yonder is. It's, from what I understand, it's a series of monologues.
It's a series of monologues, some that really are across the board emotionally. There's some angry ones. There's some funny ones. There's some thought-provoking ones. And Jack, I know, since we only have one day of rehearsal with him, I know that he will awaken the parts of me that have been dormant in order to play the role.
So this is a special event. It's a fundraiser for the Theater of Western Springs.
Which is a wonderful place. Jack and I did Love Letters there a couple of years ago. And, you know, the Chicago audiences are they're so sophisticated. And yet they're so open and kind that working in that area is always tremendously satisfying.
Great. So it's just a little plug for that. It's February the 1st at 8 o'clock and the 2nd on the Saturday at 2:30 and 8 and 2:30 on the Sunday out at the theater at Western Springs, which is 4384 Hampton Avenue in Western Springs. And it's going to be a delight to have you in Chicago.
Oh, it's my delight. As a matter of fact, when a couple years ago when I was at Western Springs, my husband and I, independently of each other, started kind of sniffing around at what was real estate there and how much do houses cost. it captured us that much.
Because you're originally from Seattle, if I...
I'm originally from New York.
From New York. Okay, from New York.
Right, but I've been around for so many years that I've lived just about everywhere.
Well, in looking at your background, you were quite the child star. From the soap opera days, remember The Brighter Day in the 50s?
Oh, my dear, do I ever. You know, it's odd how as you get older, some things seem very far away, and others you can bring to the present immediately. Such as The Brighter Day. Hal Holbrook, as a matter of fact, played a minister.
Hal Holbrook was in that?
Yeah.
Wow. I know a lot of people don't realize how many great stars either got their start in television soaps or actually made a career out of it.
And many did double duty. They would have shows at night and do TV in the daytime.
Yeah, that was kind of their day job, huh?
Exactly. You know, it's nothing has changed much in terms of what the larger group of actors makes in terms of salary. There are the handful that make all those numbers that I can't count. and then there's, you know, the rest of us who have to have a fallback position.
Yeah, that's so true. But I also read at age 12 you were on the $64,000 question and you won $32,000.
Yes, I was, and yes, I did.
And then they had those investigations, and you were kind of involved in that too. Tell us about
that.
Yes,
I got my subpoena.
Yeah,
I was terrified.
I was going to say, yeah, 12 years old to get a subpoena—that's got to be scary.
And I was advised to lie. And the people who were doing the advising really ran my life, so whatever they said, I did. And after giving false testimony, something some strength came over me, and I said, the senator said, "Now, have you told us the truth?" And I said, "No."
Wow, good for you. Even at 12 years old, you had the guts to do the right thing.
Yeah. At any rate, it was it remains a remarkable time of my life. But I also learned that if you tell the truth, whatever the consequences for lying, they pale in comparison to how good you feel.
Well, we certainly respect that, and a lot of people don't know that. But of course, you did survive, and a couple of years later, you were in The Miracle Worker with Anne Bancroft on Broadway, and then you made the film in 1962 and got an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor at 16 years old.
Oh, well, of course, that always warms the cockles of my heart. What was truly wonderful about it was that both Anne Bancroft and I won in our categories because The Miracle Worker was the ultimate team effort.
It was a great film. And a lot of people don't realize that you were the youngest at that time to win an Academy Award, and you were either the first or one of the few that won for a non-speaking role.
Yeah. When I watch the Oscars now and I see, you know, pretty soon they're going to be going into the nursery in the hospital to get the Oscar. And now, if that sounds a little like sour grapes, it's just coming from an old lady.
Oh, come on. But that had to affect you quite a bit, all that fame and so forth at the young age.
Most definitely. The positive effect was very obvious and visible. But there was another side to my life going on at that time, and it was that the people who were like surrogate parents to me and my managers in my career, we were going through a very unfortunate and ugly time in which they saw no problem in giving me alcohol.
Mm. You know, we've heard these stories about in that era.
Yeah, and so since I don't know otherwise, I certainly enjoyed the attention from the entertainment industry.
Yeah, who wouldn't at that age? All this fame and...
But it was tempered by trying to figure out how to get out of there.
Wow. And then 63, you got the TV show, the Patty Duke Show.
Yeah.
And what was unique about that, well, I remember that show, too. I thought it was kind of cute that you played identical cousins. You played two different roles. And
that's right. And I want you to know at many airports I have met many identical cousins.
And a lot of people
love to come up and sing the theme song to me.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That must make you feel good.
It does. It makes me feel. It makes me feel that we of the '60s are truly survivors, and have, as my youngest son would have said, morphed into responsible citizens.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of you from that era paved the way for some of the laws and some of the protections that the younger actors get today.
That's true.
So that at least
my case, we haven't gone far enough yet. But those of us who, and there were many child actors, I wasn't the only one, who didn't benefit from those rules, made it our business to make sure that we changed them.
Good. Very good. And then, of course, you had a nice film career as you got older. Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, yes, Valley of the Dolls.
And a lot of people don't realize that you had a singing career, too. Then you had a couple of hit tunes.
Well, now, Tom, I don't know career.
Well, you had
you know, back then, if you were on television, you automatically got a record contract, whether you could sing or not.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And
well, you had a hit in Don't
Just Stand There.
That is so cool. And then in the 70s, you had several Emmy Awards, but for My Sweet Charlie.
Yes. Oh, I love that movie so.
Yeah, tell us about that a little bit.
Well, we made it was a play, first of all, and I was scheduled to do the play on Broadway, and my mental illness began to show itself, and the symptoms were very intrusive, and so I bowed out and started the long journey to mental health. But when I was in a very good place when they decided to do the movie, and we went to Port Bolivar, Texas, and it was so beautifully written, and everything about it was playable. And it went on. Actually, it was made as a TV movie, and it got the highest rating of that era. And so they released it as a feature, where it did not do well, of course, because all those other people had seen it already.
Yeah, well, you did quite a few cameo roles and small roles in a lot of the famous TV series. I remember Touched by an Angel, you had episodes.
Yes. You know, as, I don't know if this is true for all women in show business, but certainly it has been for me, that as I've gotten older, the numbers of roles have diminished. And so you adapt and you find your haven in guest shots. You know, I had done over 90 movies of the week.
Wow.
That was my strong suit.
That's terrific.
And in this decade, they took them away. So I spend most of my acting time in regional theater, which I just love. And I love it because the people involved are there because they want to be there.
Yeah, that's true. And there's nothing like the live theater. But you have a book out that you wrote in the early 90s called Call Me Anna.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Actually, there are two, and I'm working on the third now. I leave big gaps in between. Call Me Anna is certainly more biographical, touching on the struggle with mental illness. The second book, A Brilliant Madness, is much more about the illness untreated and how to get it treated and life after mania.
Wow, and yeah, that must have been quite a struggle, but now with all the medications and things, the good news is that people can function quite
well.
Most
definitely. We return to the workplace. We're productive. And because it isn't just the medication, you begin to explore your own psyche and your own character. And so I think when we return, we do as whole people.
Yeah, well, that's just being a survivor. A lot of people don't realize that these things come on at different times.
Yes, they do.
And most of it is hereditary. They now believe
it is scientifically stated that it is genetic. As a matter of fact, there are scientific teams trying to isolate the gene or genes, and you know, 50 years from now, they probably will have done it, and even the medication route may not be necessary.
In the remaining time we have, I always like to ask these two questions to everybody I interview. What are some of your proudest moments of your career? And then what do you see yourself doing in a few years, or what are your goals?
I have had such good luck in the 53 years that I've been an actress. There are many. Probably the most profound will always be being on stage with Anne Bancroft.
That had to be wonderful.
Absolutely. It has carried me for all these years.
So you learned a lot from Anne, huh?
I learned a ton from Anne.
I had
both acting-wise and people-wise.
Wow. Well, that's great. What do you see yourself doing in 5 years from now? Give us some of your goals.
Well, I have just started teaching at the University of Idaho.
great.
Yeah. So I'm hoping I do well at that so I can continue, because it is great fun to see those young, fresh faces absorbing the information they need to take a shot at it. Also, I will be, of course, continuing my mental health advocacy. I guess down the line, it would be nice to get a really great role, like driving Miss Daisy kind of thing.
Well, I'm sure they'll come around.
You just have to get old enough.
and you just have to keep going. Well, it's been an honor to have you on this show, and I hope people get out to Western Springs to see a living legend and someone of your stature. It's been truly an honor, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. It's been wonderful, and it's my first.
Well, it'll be on Talk Theater in Chicago,
I'll tell all my friends at Western Springs.
Great, thank you so much.
Bless you. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.